Romans chapter 8, we're going to read verses 1 through 14 tonight. And probably my favorite chapter in Romans is chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after this flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life by Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." We're going to talk tonight about salvation and our victory in Jesus Christ and the blessings and the benefits of Romans chapter 8 here. Lord, tonight, help us, I pray, this evening as we look at Your Word, Father, and once again go back to Romans and look at this chapter verse by verse. Lord, I ask You tonight for Your help, Father, for me as I teach and preach tonight. Give me clarity of thought and the words to say, Father. Pray that You also be with each heart tonight, each one that's listening. Lord, I pray that each heart might be receptive to Your Word tonight. And continue, Lord, to guide us and use us and to change us. May, Father, we be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, Lord, in our hearts and also, Father, in our actions. God bless our church, I pray, tonight, and our families. We ask in Your name, amen. Romans chapter 8 really is a pivotal point in the book of Romans. It's a victory chapter for the believer. And in chapter 7, the believer is made to be exceedingly sinful. We've seen that, I guess we've now been out of Romans for quite some time, but as we went through chapter 7 several months ago, we were reminded about how that we're sinners by nature, that we're wretched men, and that in us dwells no good thing, and we've seen that by the law of Moses. Moses' law proclaims, the law of Moses does not justify anyone, make us righteous. It really reveals to us how sinful that we are. And we find then that Romans chapter 8 declares now that those who are in Christ now are no longer under condemnation. And so, in the book of Romans, we have seen, well, we'll see some things. We see victory. And the believer now is under a new law. We see that in verse number 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death." We're under a new law. We discussed that just several weeks ago. Tonight I want to look at we're under a new Lord. And then in the future we'll look at also a new life. These are the victories that we have that Romans 8 describes to us. A new law, a new Lord, and a new life. And we'll look at the new life this evening. Now, we've talked about the new law that we're free from. And because now that we're under this law of the Spirit, in verse number 2 the Bible describes that we're no longer under the condemnation for sin. And so we stand no longer condemned to sin or because of sin, but we're made free. Our chains have been broken. And so we're no longer under condemnation because of being in Christ. And there is no more control by sin. The believer is set free. The Bible tells us, reminds us that, of course, that when before we were saved, we were under not only the condemnation of sin, but also the law of sin. And by the way, you and I will not break the law of sin. This idea that somehow we are exempt from certain laws is not going to happen. The law is fixed, and the law of sin always equals and ends in death. And we can't play with sin and expect something not to happen. But because we're saved now under the Spirit, under the law of the Spirit of life, in verse number 2, we are no longer under control by sin. And not only so, we not only are we under condemnation, but not under the control of sin. And also we talked about there is no more continuance in sin, which means that we don't have to live habitually in sin in our life. Now, does that mean that we're perfect? By no means does it mean that we're perfect. We still have this fleshly nature that we drag around with us, and we still are prone to sin. I like that song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And so that's our fleshly nature. But because of being in Christ Jesus, we're under a new law, the law of the Spirit, which gives us freedom from the condemnation, the control, and the habitual lifestyle of sin. And so a person can have great victory in Christ Jesus. And we talked about those things several weeks ago. I just wanted to remind you of those. But tonight we're going to look at not only do we have, are we under a new law, but now also we have a new Lord. A new Lord. And the Bible says in verse number one, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. A man must be born again to be in Christ Jesus. Religion does not do that. Good works will not do that. Good intentions won't do that. Good morals won't do that. Self-righteousness won't do that. A person must be born again. And the Bible says now that since we're in Christ, we no longer have condemnation. Verse number 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And verse number 2 again, verse number 1 says, again that we know that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now watch this last phrase, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Before salvation, the flesh was our Lord. That's who we obeyed. We had this idea somehow, well, I'm my own man. And that's reveals where it got man. And the man is corrupt by sin. But so we always going to have a Lord over us. And God says now that after you've been born again, the flesh is no longer your Lord. The sin is no longer your Lord. But now the Spirit of God, that we're now introduced to a new, introduced to the third person of the Godhead, that blessed Holy Spirit and His transforming work in the child of God. Now again, it reminds you that according to Romans chapter 7, that we find the carnal man being described. And in Romans chapter 7, about 39 times you find the words, I, me, and my, describing the carnal nature to us. And the carnal man is defeated because he lives in the bondage of the old nature. So when we come to Romans chapter 8, we find the introduction of the Holy Spirit of God, and He's mentioned now about 19 times in Romans chapter 8. And this is to be the believer's new Lord. And there is a new Lord introduced to us in this chapter, and the new Lord is none other than the Holy Spirit, and He's the one who can reproduce the life of Christ in us. We see that in verse number 1 and verse number 5, it says, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And so the Spirit of God reproduces Christ within us. Now, every believer has the Spirit of God. When you got born again, you received the Spirit of God. And Romans chapter 8, this describes that. Verse number 9 says this, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. This idea that you have to pray through a second time for a special anointing is not scriptural. God said, listen, either you are saved and have the Spirit, and if you have not the Spirit, then you're not saved. And so a person gets born again, they get the Spirit of God. Verse number 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So we find that the Spirit of God dwells in the believer. And this is the Lord, if you will, the Lord of the believer. Now, a side note here, Romans 8 is not comparing. And we're going to talk to them about the carnal mind tonight for just a little bit. But Romans chapter 8 is not really comparing two types of Christians. We use it oftentimes as describe that. We talk about the carnal Christian and the spiritual Christian. But Romans 8, in the context of Romans 8, is actually describing two different types of people, the lost and the saved. Because the Bible describes to us that when you get born again, it's the natural part of the believer now to be full of the Spirit of God and led by the Spirit of God. And so it doesn't describe to us you're really a carnal Christian. It's speaking about the lost man. The lost man does not have the Spirit of God. And the saved man has the Spirit of God living within him. It is to follow after or be influenced by the Holy Spirit. We're to be spiritually minded, not because of our work, but because of the work of salvation. And so we're going to talk tonight about this carnal nature, this carnal mind. There are three areas of the Holy Spirit's control. There are three areas the Holy Spirit must control in the life of a Christian, if Christ is going to be reproduced in our life, if He's going to be the Lord over us. These three areas are the mind of the believer, the motive of the believer, and also the members of the believer. These are the three areas the Holy Spirit of God is going to control or influence. We're going to walk after the Spirit of God. We're going to pursue Him, be under His influence or direction. And these are the three areas that's going to be impacted by the Spirit of God: the mind, the motive, and the members of the believer. Now, the Spirit of God doesn't just transform one part of us and leave the rest of us to ourselves. He wants the entire man. And it begins in the heart, I believe, but also then works out through the members. So let's talk tonight about the Holy Spirit controlling the mind of the believer this evening. Verse number 5-7, let's read that. It says here about this conflict of the Spirit with the flesh. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So verse number 5 states the reality of being after the flesh or after the Spirit. To be after the flesh is to be carnally minded. This describes the unbeliever. To be carnally minded, God says, is death. To be after the Spirit, or to mind the things of the Spirit, to pursue the Spirit of God or be under His control or influence, is to be spiritually minded. And God says to be spiritually minded then is life and peace. We'll talk about that more a little bit here in a few moments. So we will be controlled or influenced by what we think about, what has our mind, our attention. We talked about that on Sunday morning some. And the battle of the mind is so very important, and the battle of the heart and mind. And that's where the Spirit of God takes residence and begins to deal with us in our life to transform us to the image of Jesus Christ. And so tell me where your mind is, and I'll tell you where your life will be. What goes on in your heart and mind will dictate your life. If our minds are centered around the things of the flesh or carnal matters, then those are the matters that will have priority in our life. Those things that we're to focus on. If our minds are centered upon the spiritual things of life and the godly things of life, then those matters that have priority in our lives. Now, again, whatever occupies our minds, that's what we pursue. You know, years ago, I wanted to get an archery, and that became a priority. I don't think it was out of balance, but I spent a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money in archery. And I enjoyed doing that because I thought about archery and read about archery and watched videos on archery and just had a great time doing that. So whatever becomes our thoughts, what occupies our mind becomes our life. And God warns us about this carnal mind. Let's talk about tonight about this carnal mind. There are three directions the carnal mind may take. We're going to talk about that this evening. The carnal mind may focus on the base, the immoral, the violent, and the wicked. Now, this is what normally we think about the carnal mind. We think this is the mind of the carnal, the unbeliever, maybe the backslidden Christian. Their mind is focused on the base, the immoral, the violent, and the wicked. In fact, take your Bibles and look with me at, hold your place in Romans chapter 8. And come to me with Galatians. Come with me to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians 5 and verse number, let's look at verse number 19 for a moment. We're going to skip a little bit here, the context. But we're to walk in the Spirit of God according to verse number 16. God says, listen, if you walk in the Spirit of God, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If these two are contrary to one another, then battle against each other. So look at verse number 19. God says here, this is what happens when a person is carnally minded. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. So when a Christian pursues or walks after the flesh, and they're led by the flesh, the mind is occupied with the flesh, God said, here are the works that can be manifest. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So God reminds us now the works of the flesh. And so preachers say, well, how do I know if I'm fleshly minded? Are these things manifest in your life? When a person's life is consumed with these sins, these works, they can't proclaim, I'm spiritual. Now, I can't dictate who's saved and who's not saved. And I'm not tonight trying to advocate legalism that you're saved by works. A person can be saved and fall back in this lifestyle if they walk in the flesh. But I want to remind us tonight that to be carnally minded, this is the nature of the carnal mind. And so we can't live in the carnal world or the fleshy world and expect to reap godly things or spiritual fruit. And so the carnal nature, the carnal mind now, it focuses on the base, the immoral, the violent, and the wicked. And so tonight we see, you know, I like how the Democratic mafia always talks about kindness and love and tolerance and getting along in peace, and they're the most intolerant, the most hateful, most violent people you're ever going to come across. And so their words don't match their actions because they're not spiritually minded. Right? And don't fall in that trap. So the carnal mind may focus on the base, the immoral, violent, and wicked. And that's pretty common. That's what we often think about the carnal mind. Number two is this. The carnal mind may focus on the moral, the upright, and cultured. We see this today in our world today. This is a big thing in our world today. The mind is set on the immaterial, the physical, the temporal. This mind considers the welfare and comfort of itself and its society. They want to be involved in refinement and education and culture and morality. And that's their end goal. And we see that today in politics. We see that today oftentimes in Christian political groups. They're rather than focused upon Christ, they're focused upon the earthly. They're focused upon higher education and refinement and social reform. And this is also a carnal mind, because the carnal mind that focuses upon these things, not on Christ, is still carnal. In fact, the Bible says in Philippians 3:18-19, as Paul reminded the Philippian church about walking in the Spirit of God and false teachers, he said this, for many of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And so maybe they weren't base as far as the other carnal nature of mind, but their mind was earthly things. And I think tonight that we ought to be good Christians and good citizens. I think that we ought to vote and do our duty as citizens of America, but remind us that our mind shouldn't always be on earthly things. Because social reform or political reform won't change our country. Amen. It's just one mess to another. And so even though that we might say, well, Republicans have higher morals. We hope they do. That's our platform anyway. But higher morals do not give anybody rebirth, salvation, transformation. They must be born again. The spiritual mind, it must be focused on Christ Jesus and not just social reform. We also find another mindset. That's, I believe, a carnal mind, and that's the carnal mind that may focus on religion. You know, you can be religiously minded and still be carnal. This life is centered upon living a good and benevolent life. It includes oftentimes ceremony and rituals and traditions. A person can be a strict religionist, yet live far apart from God. Can I give an example that you all know? The Pharisees. They lived a very strict life. In fact, they had more rules than the law Moses gave them. Moses might give them a law, and from that law they would find 14 more laws to add to that. They were very strict and very legalistic, but they were far from God. In fact, God said in Matthew 23:25, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." He said, on the outside, you look like great, you look fantastic, you look religious, but on the inside, you've not been changed, I've been born again. God said that with their mouth, they honored him, but with their heart was far from him. And so, this carnal mindset may focus upon religion, but yet they're still carnal. They can still, though they might function within a church house or religious institution, they're not living to carry out the will of God in their life. So the lesson tonight is this, that the carnal mind is not just base in a moral or violent mind. It is the mindset that does not find its basis in God and the truth of his word. To be carnally minded in any of these directions means to be controlled by the carnal matters and the carnal nature. We will be controlled by what influences our mind and what we think. And so you can be good and a good citizen and still be carnal. The individual may be religious and very, very moral and upright, but still be carnal. The Bible talks about now the spiritual mind. This is where we want to be, the spiritual mind. See, the spiritual mind focuses on matters that relate to God and matters that please God. And really, if the Bible in Romans chapter 8, my opinion, it's just natural for a born-again believer to be spiritually minded. We live in a day and age where people want to try to live with both minds, and you can't do that. We want to be carnal-minded on Monday, spiritually minded on Sunday. But that never works out. The carnal mind always is going to win out when it happens. And so we're living in a day and age. As you read the book of Romans chapter 8, it just the natural course of a Christian is to realize I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Lord, be merciful to a sinner and save me. And they get born again and they become spirit-filled. And I know it takes submission. I understand that. But this idea that I can get born again and live in the carnal nature is contrary to teaching the Word of God. So the spiritual mind exalts and magnifies Jesus Christ. And it seeks to reproduce the life of Christ within the believer. The main emphasis and thrust of the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ. And those who are saved are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. Look at verse number 29 with me in Romans chapter 8. It says, For whom he did foreknow. So the Word of God reminds us that God does not predestinate those to heaven and hell. That Calvinistic mindset or theology is not scriptural. How does God predestinate those to be conformed to the image of His Son? Because He foreknew. He knew who would be saved. He knew who would not be saved, who would reject Christ. If He didn't know that ahead of time, He wouldn't be God. And so He says, listen, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, for what purpose? To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we find here this evening in God's Word that God foreknew who would be saved. Who would realize in Romans chapter 7 that I'm a sinner, I'm a wretched man, I need to be born again. Who would now come to Romans 8 and trust in Christ and realize I'm no longer under condemnation, through the Spirit of God. God now, He predestinated that when you got born again, that the natural life or the journey of a believer is to be conformed, first of all, to be transformed from what you once were. But not conform to a denomination or religion or to even a great man or a great woman, but to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Our work here is not to become like a pastor or a deacon or like some other great Christian. And in fact, we just need to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. Amen. This idea, well, because I'm not like so-and-so, I must not be spiritual. That's not my standard. My standard is not to be like another great preacher. I can learn from them. I can glean from them. I can be challenged by them. But my desire ought to be to have the mind of Christ and take on the image of Jesus Christ. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. We need not neglect God's Spirit within us. Now, look with me a couple of places tonight. Let's talk about tonight this blessed Holy Spirit of God. That's our new Lord. Look at with me at John 14. I believe tonight the Spirit of God is often grieved in the heart of the believer. We as Americans, and I'm not trying to bash Americans, but we as American Christians tonight, I really believe that we are so stubborn. Somehow we think that somehow that our way is God's way. We think that whatever I must want, that's must how the Holy Spirit of God leads us. I think that many of us tonight, oftentimes we live our life contrary to what the Holy Spirit of God oftentimes wants to lead us to do. We need to be sensitive and sometimes just be quiet. Let the Spirit of God lead you and be yielded to Him. And He has a work to do tonight. He has a work that He wants to reproduce Christ in your life. But we must be surrendered and spiritually minded. Look at Romans or John 14, verse number 26. Some great verses here. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Spirit of God wants to teach you the things that Jesus Christ said. John 14, 26. He wants to teach you the things that God said. He's going to bring to remembrance and teach you all things that Jesus Christ has said. Look at John 15, verse number 26. When the Comforter, here's Christ now comforting the believer. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, in the Spirit of truth, which shall proceed from the Father, He shall testify of me. The Spirit of God testifies of Christ Jesus. He tells the things that Jesus Christ did. The Spirit of God is so very vital in our life. And He wants to lead. He's not, by the way, He's not pushy. But He is right. You can grieve Him. You can quench Him. Or you can yield to Him as well. And so His work as a Spirit, His work as part of the Godhead, Trinity of the Godhead, the third person of the Godhead, His work is to conform us to the image of Christ Jesus. He does it by telling us what Christ said, teaching us what Christ did. Then in John 16, we also read in verse number 13 and 14, it says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself. This is where the charismatic gets things wrong. Because the Spirit of God does not speak of Himself, does not promote Himself. He promotes Jesus Christ. For whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. The Spirit of God, it does not come to glorify Himself, or even us. He comes to glorify Christ, and He teaches us the things that Jesus Christ wants. So His work in us is to conform us to the image of Christ Jesus, to make us more like Christ. And so He does that by teaching us and guiding us and leading us by what Christ said and did, what Christ wants in our life. So in order to become that spiritual man that God wills, I must direct my focus or my mind on spiritual matters. According to Romans chapter number 8, the Bible says I must walk after the Spirit of God. And so walking after is to be under the control, the direction, or the influence of the Spirit of God. Not of man, not of my own will or my own desire, not of a denomination, but of the Spirit of God. I must mind spiritual things. I must be spiritually minded by faith. I must yield to the Holy Spirit of God and allow Him to control and lead me. I read a poem. It says by a man named Stegan. It said, man earthly, of the earth a hungered feeds, on earth's dark poison tree, wild gourds and deadly roots and bitter weeds, and as his food is he. And hungry souls they are that feed and eat God's manna day by day, and glad they are their life is fresh and sweet, for as their food are they. What occupies your heart and mind is what you're going to become. And we have a new Lord who wants to come in and we're to walk after Him. And by the way, the Bible just describes to us here in Romans chapter 8 This is what a spiritual man does. By the grace and by faith, we walk after the Spirit. Now, if you want to be spiritually minded, you must feed on spiritual manna. Now, tonight, I know this is not rocket science or rocket surgery. This is nothing new. But how does a person be led of the Spirit? Well, if he's going to teach us about Christ Jesus, do you think we should be in his word? The Bible is so neglected, but it's so very vital, very important in our lives. The Spirit of God is going to teach us the things of Christ. We must be in his word. There must be a walk with Christ, a walk with God. There must be a prayer life. And those things are so very vital, but we neglect these small things in life that are the most important. It's these details that oftentimes we neglect and push aside, and we look for sometimes bigger, so-called bigger or better things in life. But these are the things that God says bring life and peace, to be led by the Spirit of God, to be under his control or influence. It begins with being in God's Word and a walk with God. I believe that being in the house of God is very important. We've seen this past year, we've seen a battle that Satan has attacked the church. But it's been an attack for a long time. And folks have, and because of, I believe, that Christians' attitude toward the things of God, church now has become a low priority in our life. It's amazing what causes folks to miss church or get mad and leave church. And we church hop from church to church, and then we want to proclaim to be spiritually minded. But really our lifestyles does not reflect that. And so you can't, tonight, you or I cannot say, I'm spiritually minded if tonight our life is plagued with the works of the flesh. And so we are spiritually minded by what we eat. We would take in the spiritual. And by the way, you can't be too spiritually minded. When I was younger, I used to hear the saying that he is so spiritually minded, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. I don't know if that's even true or not. I think that's a bunch of carnal Christians trying to knock somebody's spiritual down because they're convicted. I would tonight, the more heavenly minded that you are, the more earthly good that you'll be. I think the problem today with most Christians is that we're so earthly minded, we don't have no heavenly good. And so we must work, feed upon the things of God and yield our minds and our hearts to the Spirit of God by what we take in. Now, let me close with a couple thoughts tonight. Romans 8:6. For the carnally minded is death, but the spiritually minded is life and peace. This verse states the results of being controlled by these different minds. We find tonight that to be carnally minded is death. That's the law of sin. And you and I, regardless of who we are, where we came from, cannot break that law. This idea, well, I'm going to be the exception to the rule. You would not be the exception to the rule. If we live in the flesh and walk after the flesh, the result is always going to be death of some nature. There's not going to be any exception. And that bothers me tonight that we as people, that when we begin to have problems in our life or face different obstacles, the first thing we want to do is run to the flesh rather than run to God. And I think tonight when we encounter problems in our life and obstacles and heartaches, the Christian that's spiritually minded should run to God, not away from God. Our minds should be, Lord, I need more of your word. I need more of the prayer life. I need more of the Spirit of God within me. I need more to be yielded. I need more of church. I need more of God's family, not less. But oftentimes that's the direction we go. We pull away, we get angry, we get upset, and to justify our fleshly nature, we want to blame somebody else. Why we left church? We quit reading our Bibles, we quit praying. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. Tonight, if you offended me, I wouldn't leave my wife. Not if I offended you, would you leave your wife? Or your husband? Well, the preacher says, so I'm leaving. That don't make any sense. So why would you tonight, if somebody in church, another fleshly individual, that's the same nature as you, offends you tonight or upsets the apple cart in your world, why would we say, well, that's it. That's how things are going to be. I'm quitting on God. That doesn't make any sense. When Dustin and Beth have this little rug rat they're going to have, and if it's anything like Dustin, it's going to be a brat. Okay? If he comes to church and acts up and does something crazy, are you going to whip your kids for it? That wouldn't make any sense. So why would I do that? Then why would you punish God for what somebody else did? Why would you choose death over life and peace? And by the way, young folks tonight, moms and dads, we ought to come to a place in life where we learn from the mistakes of others. And look at the life, not judge or throw stones, but observe that, listen, those folks chose to be carnally minded and it didn't work out for them. How is it going to work out for me? Listen, to become so indulged with social media that it takes me away from my family, if it didn't work for somebody else, how is it going to work for you? To hook up with that old girlfriend, an old boyfriend from high school that now all of a sudden is on social media, didn't work for them. It's not going to work for you. And so we need to learn tonight from those around us who have chosen to walk carnally minded and see the results that they got. Then we realize, listen, if the road leads to the pig pen, that's where I'm going to head if I'm going that direction as well. So God says this then. He says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? Because the Spirit of God is life and peace. We also then tonight want to look at the next verse, and we'll close with this verse. Verse number 7. Verse number 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This verse states the reason for the carnal mind. The reason the carnal mind is death. Why is the carnal mind? Why can't we live our life and find peace in life? Why can't we just live our own life and do our own thing? God says this, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's God's enemy. It refuses to be in subjection to the law of God, and it cannot be. Religion, good works, good intentions will never bring the fleshly nature, the carnal mind, under the law of God. Because it's enmity against God. It's against God. It's hostile. It's adversarial. The carnal mind is opposed to all that God is. It will never in any way be subject to the will of God. Because it's not like God. It's very different by nature, behavior, and by our destiny. Can I look at a couple of, think of a couple of examples. Abraham and Hagar. A picture of the flesh. What happened? They got Ishmael. And that decision has plagued the entire world to now. Think about with me with Lot and Sodom. Lot went to Sodom, he followed the flesh. What happened? He lost his family. And his family has plagued our world. Think about Jonah being called to go to Nineveh. And he flees down to Tarshish, makes a carnal decision. And he puts in jeopardy the lives of all those mariners on that ship. Because of, listen, God's, the fleshly nature, the fleshly mind, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It wouldn't be subject to the things of God. But now here's what God says to the Christian. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That's your spiritual position. This idea, I've got to work to be in the Spirit. You are in the Spirit. Well, I've got to try to pray through, or I've got to try to do good and think right and act right. No, by faith in Christ Jesus, you are already in the Spirit. He's declared us, you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. That's your position. Now just walk in it. Live by faith in it. Pursue the Spirit of God. That's, you're already in the Spirit. This, you know, I think sometimes we in our mind, we're so legalistic sometimes and trying to, you know, somehow, God, if I could just do enough good things to appease you and make you happy, and maybe I can arrive as that spiritual man and walk in the Spirit of God. You are already, as a saved person, in the Spirit. That's your position already. You're a child of God already. You're not in the flesh. And so God says in verse number 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. You owe the flesh nothing. But it'll take everything you've got. Really, and he doesn't make much of this. But we're really debtors to the Spirit of God for what Christ has done for us. Tonight I want you to see this, that we are under a new Lord. Your flesh has no control or power over you. Only if you let it. It's like serving a dead God. No power, no authority. He says you're not in the flesh. And so for the Christian, there's not this carnal, spiritual, he's describing Romans 8, he's describing the lost man. That's the nature of the lost man. But the saved man, you're to be spiritually minded and pursue the Spirit of God. Let him lead you and direct you and guide you. Hope that's helped you in this evening of our great position in Christ Jesus, that we are not in the flesh, but that we are in the Spirit. And we're now to yield to him and walk after him and to fulfill the will of God and our life to be conformed to be like Jesus Christ. It's not our work. It's the Spirit of God's work. He does that. So what do we do? Just yield. Just yield. What do you tell your kids when you go to the store? Follow me. Stay close to me. Follow me. They're not paying for the groceries. They're not picking them out. They didn't work for them. They follow you. Get in the grocery line. You pay for it. They you go home. They enjoy it. Listen, it's not our work. It's his work. All I got to do is just take his hand and follow him. And he does work within us. Lord, tonight we come to you in closing. Help us tonight to understand, Lord, our position in Christ Jesus. Lord, no longer we're under condemnation, but we're no longer in the flesh, but we're in the Spirit of God. Lord, may we pursue the Spirit. Let him guide us, lead us and direct us, Father, tonight. Lord, that there may be fruit in our life, that we may be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Help us tonight, I pray tonight, in your name we ask. Amen.